By the way, today, Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan reportedly said it's not possible to end birthright citizenship via executive order. Meanwhile, President Trump's visit to Pittsburgh is also in the news on the day that the first funerals were held there for victims of Saturday's attack on the Tree of Life Synagogue.
I've been thinking a lot in the past 48 hours about, you know, all those people who happened to be Jewish in my life who made no, there were no hesitation about welcoming me into their family.
That's Jose Antonio Vargas, author of the new book, Dear America, Notes of an Undocumented Citizen. Vargas was born in the Philippines and has lived in the U.S. without papers since he was 12. Vargas was part of a team of journalists who won a Pulitzer Prize at the Washington Post in 2008. When he spoke with my colleague Rupa Shenoy, he began by describing the role Jewish Americans have played in his life story.
When I got to this country in the early 90s, I didn't really know anything about Jewish people. And especially when I got to high school, there was a family, the Greenstein-Wade family. It was the first time I'd ever had a Jewish friend, but I didn't know what that meant either. And her friend was Natalie. Her name was Natalie Wade, my classmate. And then I ended up meeting her mom, Gail, and Gail's mom, Rita, and Rita's husband, Eli. And then they kind of adopted me into their family. And then when I got to the Washington Post, I was assigned a professional mentor, and his name was Peter Pearl. And he taught me the meaning of the word mensch. I didn't know what that was. And he was the first and only adult at the Washington Post that I told that I was here illegally. And he made a very crucial decision that basically saved my career.
To accept you coming out as undocumented.
Yeah. And I told him everything, the fake papers, you know, everything I had to do to lie my way into a job at the Washington Post. And I expected him to report me to the HR department. Instead, Peter said, "This is now our shared problem. Don't tell anybody else. Just keep going."
Yeah, you describe in the book how you almost have two families, one apart from your actual family, and the family of partially Jewish and other people. They kind of helped you survive while being undocumented. But then at home, your family was frustrated with you for coming out as undocumented, and you were getting these conflicting messages. How did you navigate that?
Well, I mean, it was, I think, a lot of people who grew up in immigrant backgrounds can relate to this, because there's the dynamic at home in our immigrant households that we're told that we shouldn't want too much, right? We should put our head down. Don't make too much noise. We're here to just work, right? We're not here to be visible, to be seen. And yet I had this other family that was mostly from my high school, Mountain View High School, and then Peter Pearl at the Washington Post, who just wanted me to succeed in all the ways that I could succeed. You know, if I didn't have all those people in my life who told me to keep going, right, that these immigration laws didn't make any sense at all, I'm not sure I would have allowed myself to be encouraged and to kind of pursue what I wanted to do.
Why was that an important point to make, that American citizens helped you survive and thrive in this country?
Because when we talk about undocumented people like me in this country, it's almost as if we exist like islands onto ourselves, when the reality is people like me in this country cannot be in this country working, living, surviving, thriving without all those U.S. citizens who help us out at every juncture, at school, at work, at the church. And yet when we talk about immigration, especially illegal immigration, the role of U.S. citizens are actually not much part of the conversation.
We're looking at this quote-unquote caravan coming up from Central America, and the president saying we're not going to let them in and things like that. One thing you did in your book is explain the history up into the point of your own name and how you ended up being part of a family that wanted to come to the States and how it was influenced by the West. Can you tell that story?
I think that when we explain why people move to America or why migrants are moving to Europe, I think we have a very simplistic way of doing it. In America, which is what I know, people assume that migrants know about the Statue of Liberty or the American Dream. I didn't know anything about that. All I knew was when I was a kid, America was Coke. It was Nike. It was Spam. It was the Hershey's Kisses. It was all the stuff that my grandparents in America, who are naturalized citizens, you know, sent to the Philippines to my mother and I. So American capitalism was there, was very present since I was a kid. McDonald's was there, right? And I think we don't kind of interrogate what American foreign policy and American economic policy, in addition to the wars that we fight, that we fought, what those reasons have to do with why people move. You know, I was in North Carolina a few years ago, and I was doing this Tea Party event. And I ended up saying that there are 4 million Filipinos in America. We're the third largest immigrant group. Mexicans, Chinese, and Filipinos. And this man got up, elderly white man, and he said, "Why are there so many of you here?" And I said, "Well, you know, sir, we are here because you were there. The Spanish-American War? My name is a product of Spanish colonialism, Jose Antonio Vargas. But Jose doesn't have an accent in the E because when the Americans took over after the Spanish-American War, their typewriters didn't have accent marks. So my name is a marriage of Spanish colonialism and American imperialism."
Just to circle back to the beginning, we started out talking about the people who helped you become someone and go places where people wouldn't think you'd be able to go, like the Washington Post newsroom. And now we have this synagogue that was attacked, people who did help refugees. I mean, do you think people are still helping young people like you? American citizens are still playing that role? Do you think that's going to change?
Absolutely. They're helping. I know this. I know this because they follow me on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and they send me messages. I know this because if it weren't for the generosity of all these people, including Jews who know a lot about homeland and the search for home, if it wasn't for that generosity, I don't really know why the sky hasn't fallen. You know, at a time like this, I have to believe in love. I have to believe in the generosity of people. I have to believe that we don't struggle alone. I would argue that after this horrific, horrific tragedy, I bet you that more people are going to be more willing to help.
Jose Antonio Vargas's new book is called Dear America, Notes of an Undocumented Citizen. Jose, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have Rupa Shenoy's full interview with Vargas, by the way, at theworld.org.